right, here it is, the final podcast of this super cool year, the Daily Podcast. It's here for the John DiBella Show. It's Friday, December 18th, a date we've had circled on our calendar with great anticipation for quite some time now. We started it out with a double dose of Darlene. We talked to late packages and heard some guy who remixed War Pigs, covered it rather, with the lyrics to Deck the Halls. You won't believe how perfectly it fits. John shared a top 10 list for those who leave snow on the roofs of their car. We celebrated Keith Richards' birthday in Song Stories today. Heard how the Muppets' Christmas was ruined in the 80s. Jason Mertzidis made his pigskin picks for the weekend. And a staple of our final big Christmas show of the year, Vinnie Brand joined us, comedian extraordinaire, but mostly struggling small business owner these days. We'll catch up with him, someone who has far more to complain about in 2020 than us. And speaking of griping about this year, John flipped it around, as always, and shared the good news of the past year in our final break, as always. Have a listen. Merry Christmas, everybody. See you in 2021. Here you go. It is the Daily Podcast.
I don't think I can explain to people how much that song means to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I have been aching. I needed to feel something Christmas, and I didn't realize that all I really needed was Darlene Love. I mean, I just feel great right now. For those of you who are upset that I played it twice, well, I'm sorry.
Bleep off.
Yeah. I needed it.
Don't be a Grinch.
I needed it. Every once in a while, the John DiBella Show is John DiBella's.
The John DiBella Podcast. 102.9 MGK.
A lot of you probably still doing all your Christmas shopping. There's more than enough, well, to do, and not all that much time. You only got about a week at this point. But there's a story out this morning. You know, here it is, December 18th. If you ordered presents today to even with rush shipping, you're not sure if they're going to be here, you know, in time for Christmas. And they broke, you know, they're breaking down. Here's what you do. And Steve is in the 45%.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Steve is in the 45% because 45% of people will give someone a photo of a gift.
Yep.
Right? And I was just informed that I'm getting a photo today.
Yeah.
So's
Taylor. She's getting two.
She's getting two photos?
Yeah.
Really?
Listen, well, yours is in Lancaster. It just hasn't been shipped since December 8th.
Well, it's on a buggy. That's why.
Hers, I got an email. It's in Philly now, as of today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The John DiBella Podcast.
Oh, isn't it sweet?
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
This would normally be our pajama party show with Vinnie Brand stopping by. Well, Vinnie Brand will be here later on this morning. We got a lot to celebrate. Unfortunately, we don't have a studio full of listeners. We're not. God, I miss First Fridays. I miss First Fridays so much.
Feels weird to not be in PJs today.
Yeah, I know. I actually thought about it this morning.
I did too.
Did you?
Yeah.
I actually thought about it. I'll
last
just
night.
Come in my pajamas. That'll be fine. Right? But no, it just didn't happen. All right? 25 degrees outside right now. We'll put as much holiday into the show as we possibly can this morning. But I came across this thing last night. I don't know if you've heard this yet. Some guy decided to put a version of Deck the Halls up online, except he's done it to Black Sabbath's War Pigs.
All right.
Yes. All right.
Nice concept.
All right, wait till you hear this.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly. Tis the season to be jolly. Don we now our gay apparel. Call the ancient Yuletide carol.
I'm amazed at how well it works.
See the blazing Yule before us. Strike the harp and join the chorus. Follow me in merry measure. While I tell of Yuletide treasure. Oh, Lord, yeah!
I love the halls.
That rocks,
are,
man.
The halls are decked.
The John DiBella Podcast.
What do you say we have a rock and roll party?
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Shut it down.
MGK.
Speaking of this weather and what it's like outside, one of the banes of my existence is people who do not clear off the top of their cars.
Oh, God, yep. I'm such a Nazi about this, too.
I really am. And look, I can understand, like, you went to work, it was perfectly, you know, clear. You come outside and there's 6 inches of snow on top of your car. All right, you might be limited, especially for a lot of women. You know, mm-hmm. you might be limited on getting that snow off of there. But when you wake up in the morning and you're at home and you don't take that snow off the top of your roof, right, I already hate you, even though I don't even know who you are, okay? And just make that clear. So I decided this morning that maybe I should put together a list of the top 10 things I hate about people and why they seem to have forgotten to take the snow off the top
of
their
car. Get them, John.
Get them. Here they are, the top 10 signs you forgot to clear the snow off the roof of your car. Number 10, behind you on the highway, it looks like the end of a movie starring The Rock. Number 9, it's 40 degrees out, but it's still snowing behind your car. Number 8, all of a sudden your 16-year-old isn't the worst driver in the family.
Oh, yeah.
Number 7, your car looks like a butterfly coming out of a cocoon. Number 6, everyone around you wants you dead.
Yep.
Right? Number 5, your car is a moving blizzard. Number 4, your sunroof looks like you're trapped in Antarctica.
Yeah.
Number 3, the cops just pulled you over and asked for your driver's license and your snow shovel. Number 2, you notice your car on 3 people's Facebook stories.
Yes. Right? Oh, God, yeah.
And number 1, all right, and I hope this happens, when you hit your brakes, you get covered in an avalanche.
John DiBella Podcast, 102.9 MGK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You know the bands. You know the songs. This is the history behind them. Classic Rock 102.9 MGK presents Song Stories.
Song Stories being brought to us by the New Jersey Transit Police Department, reminding you to report suspicious activity. Text your report to NJTPD. Today's St. Keith's Day. It's Keith's birthday. I don't even know what age he is, and it doesn't matter because he will live forever, obviously. But St. Keith's Day started at a radio station I worked at on Long Island. Basically, to make a long story short, someone from a record company showed up with a case of vodka for a bottle for every one of the jocks at the station at that time.
Okay.
All right? And we just started drinking as soon as we got off the air. And by noon that day, the entire radio station was rip-roaring drunk. All right? And we all attributed it to Keith Richards.
Sure.
Right? Because anytime somebody goes, hey, it's Keith Richards' birthday, have a drink. We used to throw parties for years on end, right, after once we established St. Keith's Day. And now it goes on at radio stations and around with people across the globe. But it is St. Keith's Day. It is his birthday. And the Rolling Stones, you might find this hard to believe because we didn't hear the song until 1981. The Rolling Stones originally started doing takes of Start Me Up during the Some Girls sessions in 1977. Then they tried again in 1978. Here's Keith explaining how we eventually got to the song that we know and love.
I was convinced, and I think Mick was here, that it was definitely a reggae song. And we did about 38 takes with Start Me Up. You know what, man? Yeah, Jah Rastafari. It didn't make it. And somewhere in the middle of a break, just to break the tension, Charlie and I at the rock and roll version. 5 years later, when somebody sifted all the way through these, after then about 70 takes of Start Me Up, and found that one in the middle, you know, it was just buried.
The John DiBella Podcast. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9.
I found this morning, and this comes from one of the writers from Late Night with Seth Meyers. Okay. Do you remember the Muppet Family Christmas?
Vaguely.
Okay, right. You remember it happened. All right. You probably don't remember that it itself. Happened back in 1987, right? It was on broadcast TV.
Okay.
Right? And when the happy festive show was over, it got ruined by a voiceover. announcing what was coming up on Nightline that night.
Oh, no.
So it ran on ABC, right? So here it is, the very ending of the show.
Oh, I can't wait.
With the voiceover.
Merry Christmas! Merry
Christmas! Credits start to roll.
Merry Christmas, all.
I'm Dr. Timothy Johnson. Later on Nightline, it's a controversy about life and death. Do you keep a doomed baby alive so its organs can be used to save
oh my
the lives
God.
Of others?
Wow!
Jesus!
That actually happened?
That actually happened. I mean, that's as bad as the Heidi Bowl.
My Lord.
You know about the Heidi Bowl.
No,
right?
I don't.
Oh.
I don't know what the Heidi Bowl is.
Oh, I can't remember. Someone will text in and tell me what the game was. A football game. One of the networks was running Heidi, the old Shirley Temple movie. Right, and it was supposed to start, say, at 7 o'clock or whatever it was. All right, there was a football game on that either went into overtime or was running long, and just as you know, the ending was going to happen, just as the decision was going to make of who was going to win this game, they cut to the opening of Heidi.
Freaking Heidi.
Of Heidi.
One of the most boring slogs in TV history.
Wait a second. Come on. It's Grandpa and a goat.
No, it's awful. Take me back to that gut-wrenching ending of the Muppets. My God.
I can do that.
Play it again. I need to hear that again.
Okay, wait a second.
Need to absorb this.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
I'm Dr. Timothy Johnson. Later on Nightline, it's a controversy about life and death. Do you keep a doomed baby alive so its organs can be used to save the lives of others?
Merry Christmas!
You know, when you think about it, the Christmas story is about a doomed baby.
That is true.
So maybe it's not the worst thing ever.
Okay.
The John DeBella Podcast.
He's got this one wrong. Yeah, of course he's got it wrong.
Philadelphia's classic rock, 102.9.
Everything out of his mouth is going to be wrong.
MGK.
Because it is time, once again, for Jason Mercedes and the Big Skin Fix. Did I say your name right there?
I think you kind of butchered it.
Yeah, I kind of butchered it.
Because right? I'm just kind of used to that.
Because I haven't known you that long, you know?
It's being 20-plus years.
It's being brought to you by Parks Mobile App and Sportsbook at Freehold Raceway in Freehold, New Jersey. You must be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, were you old enough for the Heidi Bowl? We were talking about this earlier.
Sure.
No, he definitely wasn't.
Okay, all right. Basically, all right, all of the details are it was the Raiders and the Jets.
Right.
They went into overtime, right, and NBC was carrying Heidi, the Shirley Temple movie, was coming on at 7 o'clock.
Oh. Right?
And they're going into overtime. They cut to Heidi. They end the game, they cut to Heidi. It's what, 1968, right? They cut to Heidi, right? The Raiders go on to score two touchdowns in overtime and win the game. All right.
Wow.
So they come from behind, and people were furious. Absolutely furious. Could you imagine that happening today?
Never.
All right.
Freak.
Okay.
Never.
Right, right.
Just
we're,
win, baby.
Right, right. We're cutting to the Legos movie now. All right. All right. Let's start off with your game of the week, the Chiefs and the Saints. The Chiefs, they're only a 3-point road favorite on this.
Yeah, and that's screaming to me, John. They're a 12-1 team. There's still a little bit of a battle here in the AFC just to secure that top spot and home field advantage over the Steelers. They've won 10 straight road games, the longest streak in their franchise's history and longest active streak in the NFL, but this is spot. The New Orleans Saints lost to the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta be embarrassed. I know I would be. So they're going to be in a situation right now where they need to get a win, and they're in a more desperate situation back home than the Chiefs. This is a spot play for me, and the numbers screaming at me that the New Orleans Saints are the play here, because normally that would be about 4.5 or 5, that line. But this is the spot for New Orleans to come back and maybe Taysom Hill, the linebacker, playing quarterback, to win.
Right, because aren't they at their third-string quarterback at this point?
Yeah, they were Taysom Hill, and they're just not using him correctly. Really, Sean Payton last week just did not have his greatest week, but he's a good coach. He'll bounce back. I think they'll get the win this week.
All right, lock of the week. This is one of the Saturday games. There's two Saturday games this week.
Yep.
The Packers at Carolina. The Packers are an 8.5-point favorite. Really? You're calling this the lock of the week, huh?
I guess it is.
It is a lot of points.
But, yeah, I mean, John, Aaron Rodgers has been so good.
Yeah,
yeah. Look at this season ago. Yeah, he's been good, but is it a pandemic thing? Well, Aaron Rodgers has 100-plus passer rating in 12 games this season. That's the third most in a single season in the Super Bowl era, and he still has 3 games to play. They're really good.
Wow.
He's sensational. And they're also one of fewer teams, three teams to allow fewer than 30 points in every home game this season. They're going to outscore Carolina here. They're going to cover the number. I love the Pack in this one.
You know, the wild thing about watching the Packers is whenever Aaron Rodgers has his helmet on, I'm convinced it's Chuck D'Amico from MMR.
They do look alike. And Chuck's not quite getting the team payday.
No, not at all. And lastly, the Eagles and the Cardinals. The Cardinals are favored by 6.5 points. I think that's fat, to tell you the truth.
I think it's a little short. I'm actually on the other side of this. And again, I look at the spot here. I think everybody last week on the Eagles dialed into every detail of that game for a couple of reasons. One, a rookie quarterback was starting his first game in the NFL. And two, they've been embarrassed. They played great. But eventually, you are what you are. Another change on the offensive line is a totally disinterested Jack Driscoll coming in and play on the right side. I think the Eagles are in real trouble here. I think they can't sustain what they were last week because they're not good.
Okay. All right. So the Saints and the Chiefs, you're going with the Saints. For your lock of the week, it's the Packers and Carolina, and you're going with the Packers. And then on the Eagles game, you're going with the Cardinals. Okay, now I need to know what phone call you're going with, because we need to play Bust My Christmas Balls.
Well, let's go with the day. Let's go with 18.
All right, caller 18 at 215-263-WMGK. We need you if you need to bust a Christmas ball. And, Jason?
Yeah?
I've got a great song for you. You ready?
Listen.
Here we go.
When we played New Orleans, the game went the Eagles' way. Now we're playing the Cardinals, yeah, the Cardinals. Gonna beat them on Sunday. Season's almost through. Season's almost through. We've seen what Jalen can do, Philly. If Wesley is through, it's cool, cause we know that Hurts is good. John Bella knows that Hurts is good. Now the Eagles are playing good, cause Jalen Hurts is good. Hurts is good. John Bella knows that Hurts is good. Now the Eagles are playing good, cause Jalen Hurts is good.
The John DeBella Podcast.
Sounds good.
Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
This weekend at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, New Jersey, Shane Gillis is going to be performing there. There are two shows at 7 and 9 p.m., and you can get tickets through stressfactory.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the proprietor of the Stress Factory himself, the man that's just one big ball of stress in his own life, the one, the only, Vinny Brand is with us. Good morning, Vinny.
Good morning, John. This is a yearly tradition. This is like the family member you see once a year. This is the pajama party, and I'm not there. I hate it.
I got to tell you, we hate it, too.
Let me tell you what I get, okay?
Because all right.
Every year, I never dress up in pajamas because I have to drive down there.
Sure.
And I don't want to get pulled over by a cop who thinks I'm out looking for crack cocaine in my pajamas. So I've never come in my pajamas. But because this is a phoner, I decided to get into the spirit of things. I would be in my pajamas.
That's nice. Well, we're all dressed, though, so you're still dressed inappropriately.
Well, let me tell you, it's even worse. I sleep naked. So I am doing this interview 100% naked. I went to the local Starbucks. I'm getting a lot of looks. Anyway, I tell you, I thought about this year. I'm like, I really love what you do every year. You tell people about the six good things that happened or whatever number of...
It's usually 10, and I can tell you something. Trying to get to that number this year is very difficult.
Oh, my God. How much lipstick are you going to put on this page? This year has been so bad. There are things that you should be able to remember, like, you know, like watershed moments. And this is not funny, but doesn't it feel like Kobe Bryant died like 10 years
yes.
ago?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yes.
John, we're just going to flatten the curve. Two weeks. Who knew that was a lie? Me, I raised my hand. I remember in March, they go, we're going to take 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And I'm like, well, unless one of you has a secret vaccine you've been hiding. And now you're shutting down again. And I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. You shut down for, you know, 2 months. And we open back up. And we're right back in the storm. Now we're going to do it again. Listen, you're the New York Jets at this point. You're 0-13.
So let me ask you, how have things at the farm been, especially, you know, you not coming in, that means Bill doesn't get his eggs. How's the egg business going?
As you recall, last year, the fox killed all of the chickens.
Right.
You know, normally, I like to keep about 20 chickens, right? Uh-huh. And that gives me 20 eggs a day. And I was selling some. Now, during the pandemic, I said, hey, food lines are going to get long. So I bought 50 chickens.
Oh, God.
And my thought was, okay, look, the fox is going to kill 20 chickens no matter what I do. And I'm going to sell eggs. People are going to need eggs. All of this is backfired because, number one, I took some precaution. The fox has killed zero chickens.
Good.
Zero.
Good.
No, that's not good, John. I'm getting 3 eggs a day. Okay. And because people don't want to travel, I can't sell the damn eggs. I got 50 eggs a day. All right? I am so tired of eating eggs. So I've taken to actually feeding the eggs to the chickens.
Wait, there's something wrong. That's barbaric. That's barbaric.
Chickens love eggs. Who doesn't? So I want to get a horse. I've never gotten an animal that I wanted, so I might get a horse. Because I need one other thing to feed during the pandemic.
Now, why? I mean, you live, it's not like you live in a major metropolitan area, but there aren't, like, horse paths where you live.
No, it's not. I'm going to get on the horse and roam around like Kevin Costner, and I'm going to have my son kill people. Case kills more people in Yellowstone than Cuomo killed in the nursing home. The point I'm trying to make. I mean, Casey killed 6 people in the first 5 episodes. I'm like, oh my God, Andrew Cuomo could have played this role. So, I want to do it in my head because when I watch Yellowstone in my head, I feel like I'm him. Every show I watch, I end up wanting to do what the main characters are doing.
Uh-huh.
Like all spring, I wanted to get a tiger because I was watching Tiger King.
Okay.
And I wanted to get a tiger. Now I want to own a ranch in Montana. All right. I want to go to the Ozarks and launder money for the drug king. I'll do it all.
So with the year coming to an end, and last year, I believe your resolution was to not fight with Vicky for the entire year?
Entire year, yeah.
How'd that go?
We made it to March 18th.
Okay. That's the problem with St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, no, no. That's the day they shut the country down, John. That's the first day we were in the house together for 25 hours in a 24-hour day. All right.
Are you making resolutions for this year?
Yeah, this year's resolutions are ambitious. For example, since I know you're very, very upset about the election results, this year, I am going to hand count Georgia by myself.
I see. Okay. All right. All right. What else?
Okay, John. I, this year, have determined that I must become essential. That is my goal. Uh-huh. I am non-essential for an entire year. So this year, I am studying to become a gas station attendant in New Jersey so I can become essential. When I go to get gas with a roll of quarters because I have no money, and I look at the kid with 4 teeth, and I'm going, holy cow, this kid's a king compared to me. Okay, I'm paying with quarters. I got a kid with 4 teeth and a meth habit going, hey, can I help you out? So I'm going to become essential this year. Either a gas station attendant or a checkout person at Target. But the checkout person at Target, while they are essential, it's a very dangerous field to go into because they keep adding self-checkout. So sooner or later, you're gone. That's why gas station says it's much more stable.
Yeah,
much right. More stable.
Yeah, talk to the toll takers in Pennsylvania. They'll tell you what that's like.
Oh, my God. Well, the other thing I might want to do is become a pandemic gym teacher because that is the most essential of all work. I cannot believe, like, my gym teacher for my 8-year-old turned in 1 3-minute video a week. And one of the 3-minute videos was to tell the children to hold a 5-minute plank. 5 minutes, John. One plank. All right. Now, that would be great if the gym teacher was built like The Rock. This gym teacher is built like the Pebble. Do you understand? Round, short, and fat. I'm like, you've never planked, let alone do a 5-minute plank. How dare you tell my 8-year-old to hold a 5-minute plank while cashing an $80,000 a year paycheck? So my New Year's resolution are to become essential, recount Georgia, and next year, hell or high water, I will be in that studio dressed in my regular street clothes while the rest of you morons are in your pajamas.
Thomas. Vinny Brand, our guest. Vinny, have yourself a merry little Christmas, a happy new year, and we will speak to you in the new year.
Thank you so much, John. Happy new year.
The John DiBella Podcast. Wow. Philadelphia's classic rock station, 102.9 MGK.
This is our last show of the year. It traditionally is our last show of the year. Unfortunately, this time, we didn't have a studio full of listeners, everybody in their pajamas and handing out gifts left and right. But and in all honesty, I said this earlier, I didn't think I'd be able to do this feature. And people have been texting in all morning going, please make sure you do it, please make sure you do it. And it took until really late last night that I could actually find stuff to tell you about. And that's because, you know, we've been caught up in a year that has been unlike any other year. You don't need me to say that. You know, you don't need me to use the term trying times or anything like that. But we tend to miss all of the good things that are happening in the world because we're so caught up in all of this bad. Between the pandemic and the election and everything that went on this year, we missed the goodness of the country we live in and the world we live in. Let me give you some examples. A church in Des Moines recently bought $5 million in medical debt just so they could forgive it all. They say that they bought every outstanding debt in the outstanding medical bill in the entire state of Iowa. A 7-year-old girl in Chicago named Haley Orlinsky has been making and selling bracelets for charity. Her goal was to raise $200. She's raised $20,000, and all of the money she's using to buy PPE for Children's Hospital where she was treated as a baby. Each year, an anonymous Santa goes around handing out $100 bills to random people. But social distancing this year made it impossible for him to do that. So instead, he's mailing money to essential workers all over the country. Between now and Christmas, he plans to give away $100,000. And we can't all do big things to help, but the little things add up too. A 93-year-old veteran in Ohio named John Hobson has been whittling walking sticks and selling them for $3 a piece on the side of a road and donating all the money to a food bank. A guy online in a Dairy Queen in Minnesota said he wanted to pay for the person behind him. And then the person behind him paid for the person behind them. It kept going for 900 cars. They did it all day. A former radio host in Michigan named Eric Zane flew to Los Angeles last week to donate a kidney to a friend from high school, a friend he hadn't seen in over 30 years. He posted a photo of him in the airport wearing a T-shirt that said, "I don't always travel during a pandemic, but when I do, I donate a kidney." A teacher in India just won an annual competition called the Global Teacher Prize that comes with a $1 million cash prize. Right after he won it, he announced that he's taking half of the money and giving it to the other 9 finalists. He said he's doing it because together we can make this world a better place. And lastly, a guy in Hawaii whose name is Elton Gu was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer in 2016. He's been spending the last 4 years traveling the world, but when the pandemic hit, he ran out of his meds. He was in Peru and he couldn't leave. He wasn't allowed to travel. So he rationed his medication until they were all gone, and he thought he was finished at that point. And then this week, he got a call from his doctor to tell him that somehow, some way, he was cancer-free. You want to hear about Christmas miracles? There's one for you right there. I don't know how it happened. He doesn't either. The doctors don't know. But he's really happy because now he's going to get to see his very first grandchild, something he didn't think was ever going to happen. You know, this is going to be a different Christmas, but it's only going to be different this year. If you listen to the On the Record that I just put up on the air,
on WMGK.com. I realized when I was making it that Christmas isn't about this year. It's about all of the Christmases before. It's all about those Christmas memories. So on behalf of everyone here on the show, have yourself a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You know something, sweetheart? Christmas is, well, it's about the best time of the whole year. You walk down the streets, even for weeks before Christmas comes. And there's lights hanging up, green ones and red ones. Sometimes there's snow, and everybody's hustling someplace. But they don't hustle around Christmas time like they usually do. You know, they're a little more friendly. They bump into you, they laugh, and they say, pardon me, and Merry Christmas. And especially when it gets real close to Christmas night. Everybody's walking home, you can hardly hear a sound. Bells are ringing, kids are singing, snow is coming down. And boy, what a pleasure it is to think that you got some place to go to. And the place that you're going to has somebody in it that you really love. Someone you're nuts about. Merry Christmas.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.